Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen Coop.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 18 of the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen Coop, and thank you so much for tuning in today. In the last episode, I talked about colony collapse disorder and how if we take care of our bees in a way that works with the nature of the bees, then we can easily solve this problem, save our pollinators, which helps secure a much more stable food supply and just general ecosystem happiness. In this episode, I want to talk about the idea of caring for animals. But I want to talk about the idea of caring for animals in a way that might just be better than if we were to put them back into the wild. But before I get into that, I just want to thank everyone who has purchased the book, whether that's the physical book, the ebook, or the audiobook of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys. I really appreciate all of the support that we've received and all of the interest, and most importantly, the changes that we're seeing people make in their lives to live a more enjoyable life, a more luxuriant life, and build a better world at the same time. So thanks again to everyone who has purchased the book. If you're interested in doing that and you haven't yet, you can learn more at buildingabetterworldbook.com. So in this episode, I want to talk about animal care. And in order to do so, in order to start this conversation, I think we need to start with what kind of animal care are we talking about here? There's a lot of different approaches that people have, and I'm personally extremely uncomfortable with about 99% of the ways that people raise animals. And so here are the seven levels that we can break things down into. Number one is factory farms. Number two is organic factory farms, which is the same, but with organic food instead of conventional food. Number three is what most people do when raising their own animals. Number four, setting all of the animals free to rejoin the wild. Number five, providing a life better than a life in the wild. Number six, pampering the animals. And number seven, something that would inspire a Disney movie about a little girl and all of her homestead animal friends. So, there's seven different levels of care that we want to talk about. And I think what I wish for us to shoot for is for level six. If you can pull off the level seven, then that's great. But I would like the idea of pampering the animals and providing them a life that is way better than one that they would have if released back into the wild. So we're going to focus on three main areas. We're going to focus on food, shelter, and safety. So starting with food, each animal is going to know better than we do what it needs to eat. Those instincts have been there for thousands of years, and the animal knows what it wants to eat and what's good for it. And so sometimes it's going to want something and other times it won't. And most of the time it might prefer certain plants or insects or what have you. And other times it might say, no, I want this thing that's usually actually poisonous for me, but I'm actually kind of sick right now. And this thing that is usually not that great for me is actually medicine for me. And so the primary idea here is to provide the animals with a huge buffet of choices and allow them to choose what food feels best for them. And actually, a really good test for this, if you have chickens, is to provide them with your dinner plate once. You don't have to do it all the time. And make sure that there's no chicken on there, obviously. But see if they prefer the food that is on your plate or the food that they have regular access to. And if they prefer the food that they have regular access to and ignore your plate, I think you are doing an excellent job of pampering your animals. So one of the ways that we can provide a lot more options for our animals is by using what's called a paddock shift system. And basically you split your area into at least 4 paddocks, and you rotate your animals throughout these paddocks, making sure that they are never forced to eat more than 30% of the plants that are in a given paddock. So if they eat 30% of the plants, then they've obviously chosen their favorite ones, and it's time to move them into the next paddock. And that way they are never forced to eat anything that they don't want, as long as you have a diverse, you know, pasture. And that way they can move on to the next area where they can have their favorite foods again, and foods that are helpful for them. Once we've moved the animals out of the paddock, we want to leave them at least 30 days before we bring them back into that paddock. That way the paddock has a chance to rest and recuperate, and the pest cycle has a chance to break. And you can leave the paddocks for longer, that's fine, but I wouldn't recommend any shorter than 30 days. And as a result of having this animal activity, most people are reporting that if they're doing it right, then they're seeing an increase in growth of up to 5 times or more. And so because of the interaction of the animals, more plants are growing than if there were no animals in the system. So this kind of gets back to that whole thing again, where if we incorporate animals into our system, even if we don't use those animals for our diets or for other products, they can still increase the productivity of our system because we're mimicking natural ecosystems, which include animals. I want to give a quick nod here to something we talk about in the book, which is junk pull fence, which is an alternative to electric fence that uses no electricity and is less stressful for the animals and uses up waste products from areas where there are too many conifers. So if you have a lot of conifers, you might want to look into that. And we talk about that more in the book and have some good drawings as to how to build them. But basically, the hope is to create a fence that keeps the predators out, not so much worrying about keeping the animals in. If the food inside the fence is so amazing, then the animals won't try to break out of it. If your animals are trying to break out, it might be because the quality of food outside the fence is better than the quality of food inside the fence. So that's something worth considering. Next, I want to talk about shelter, and how to shelter animals in these paddock shift systems in a way that, they are far more productive and happy and healthy if they have shelter from the elements, whether that's from the wind or from the rain or from the cold, or from the heat, I suppose. And that would be from the sun. And so there's a lot of ways to accomplish this, but one really good one that I recommend is considering the use of a portable skiddable shelter. And so this is a shelter that's built on skids so that you can move it, and you can move it potentially with a truck or a tractor or a team of people. It depends on the size of it. Like something small for chickens, you might be able to move by yourself, or we might be able to incorporate wheels to help you with that. Whereas something larger for like cattle, for example, you would probably be looking at either a large team of people or far more effectively, just a tractor or a truck. And the key here is to use a shelter that has no floor. That way, when you move it, then the poop stays where it is. And so then you don't ever have to muck out the shelter because you're just moving the shelter away from the muck. And then since you're moving your paddocks often enough, you're never really accumulating too much muck. And a cool tactic is to put the shelter on the area with the worst soil in your paddock, because you're going to have a bit of an extra concentration of nutrients in that area. And so if you come back the next year and find that spot where you had the paddock, then you might find that it's actually far more lush than other areas where you didn't have the shelter. So that's just a quick idea for you there. Very much meant to keep the animals safe from the elements. Further yet, it changes a rather important piece of taking care of animals that some people are concerned about, and that is with a skiddable shelter, it should never stink. And it's my opinion that, if it smells bad, you're doing it wrong. let's look at ways to, yeah, raise animals in a way that is healthy and not in a way that is repulsive. The last thing I want to talk about is predator control and how to keep predators out. One thing to remember is that you can almost never build a fence that's good enough. There's always a chance of some predator or another getting in. And so my recommended technique is actually to use a livestock guardian dog that is specifically bred for the purpose of taking care of livestock, taking care of animals, and making sure that they don't get eaten by the predators. And this is a strategy that has been working for hundreds and thousands of years to protect animals, and is one that is an excellent example of working together with other creatures to enhance our overall systems and increase our food security. Plus, they're pretty cute. Just saying. So with some of these things in place, I think we can really consider the idea of pampering animals, and maybe there's some other things that we can do along the way as well, which is always the case. But these are just some ideas to get you started of how we can drastically improve the way that animals are cared for in a way that increases the overall growth of our system and provides us with more food, which allows us to decrease our overall footprints and give us happier and healthier lives at the same time. There's more on some of this stuff in the book if you want to check that out, but that's all I'm going to cover here today. In the next episode, I want to talk about something that is inside the home and outside the home, and that is what happens with what we put down the drain, and how is that impacting our environment, and what are some solutions and some techniques for improving our impact. All right, that's it for now. Please subscribe to the show if you find this interesting, and if you like this sort of thing, then that will help you get notified of more episodes. Besides that, just want to wish you a great day and hope that it continues to go well for you. Okay, bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.